Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. If you're listening to my voice, then you no doubt understand that I have spent my life studying the negative aspects of politics worldwide, and especially in the United States of America. It doesn't matter if it's the United States, or it's China, or it's Germany, or Russia, or if it's Iran or Iraq, it doesn't matter. I will cover it if I see something that's unjust to the people of this world. And if I see that people are having the wool pulled over their eyes. What we have here is a story recently about WikiLeaks, which is under attack. For those of you who don't know what WikiLeaks is, it's a website that specializes in blowing the whistle on dirty deeds by different countries. And right now it's blowing the whistle on dirty deeds by the United States that have taken place, especially vis-a-vis the Iraq War. Now, WikiLeaks is under attack by the United States government as a new leak looms, and that's from WikiLeaks itself that says that, you know, they're definitely under attack. According to CNN, the whistleblower website is under cyber attack, but even if it goes down, a new cache of leaked U.S. diplomatic cables will still be published Sunday night. And it notified everybody of this via Twitter. Now, you may ask, what is a denial of service attack? That's what's going on here. And that's where someone sets up a program and really begins to hit the website with requests for letters and emails, etc., one after the other after the other, until it overwhelms the ability of the website to respond, and the website becomes paralyzed and it crashes. Well, people are doing that to WikiLeaks, and it's probably the United States government, the CIA, the Pentagon, etc., up to their usual tricks in a country that claims that it's for freedom of speech, but it's a country that we all know has put people in jail over and over again for being government dissidents and not doing what the United States wants it to do. So this is going on now with WikiLeaks. These announcements of the attacks against WikiLeaks over the internet come shortly after the United States warned the editor-in-chief, Julian Assange, that publishing the papers would be illegal and endanger people's lives. According to the New York Times, the Guardian newspaper in England, and newspapers and magazines in three other European nations, the WikiLeaks planning to publish this new classified material on Sunday, and that these newspapers will do so also. The site has experienced this distributed denial of service attack, which is a DDoS attack, which, as I said, was an effort to make a website unavailable to users by flooding it with requests for data. The U.S. State Department's legal advisor said Saturday that if materials in the posting of documents by the site were provided by government officials without proper organization, that they were provided in violation of U.S. law and without regard for the grave consequences of this action. I find that very interesting because the United States has been committing illegal actions all over the world, but they don't want this to be spilled in public. They want you to believe that the United States is a perfect government, a kind of Christ child when it comes to dealing with other nations, that every action that it's ever done that seems to be bad was actually a police action, not an act of war or terror. Whereas, as a matter of fact, other nations that have been under the heel of the United States government know what terror is, and they've seen it at the hands of the soldiers of United States armies and navies. WikiLeaks indicated last week that it was preparing to release a new batch of previously classified U.S. military documents. This next release is 7 times the size of the Iraq war logs. Intense pressure over it for months. Keep us strong, they said. State Department legal advisor Harold Hongju Ko told Assange that he was responding to a letter about the newest leak. Ko wrote that the department had spoken with representatives from the New York Times and the Guardian newspapers and the German magazine Der Spiegel. About 250,000 documents the whistleblower, an organization, provided to them for publication. WikiLeaks said Sunday it had also given documents to El País in Spain and Le Monde in France. Ko described the distribution as the illegal dissemination of classified documents and said it would place at risk the lives of countless individuals, criticisms that have been repeated by U.S. officials after past postings on the site. Well, I don't believe they've ever been able to show a death that occurred from the original WikiLeaks publications several months ago. And I'm sure if there had been some, they certainly would have reported it. Perhaps some of the spooks in the CIA might want to go out and actually kill some of their spies and claim that it was done by the enemies who found out about it from a WikiLeak. I'm sure that must have crossed their mind. They're certainly capable of doing that sort of thing, as we know from their history of lies and deception. The information blitz from WikiLeaks is expected to offer a glimpse into the worldwide communications of the U.S. State Department and its 297 embassies, consulates, and missions through what are commonly referred to as cables. Ko wrote that releasing such documents could jeopardize relationships with allies, military actions, and anti-terrorism operations. So what do you suppose? What do you suppose Ko is talking about here? That the releasing such documents could jeopardize relationships with allies, military operations, and anti-terrorism operations. Well, let me give you a suggestion. I think what they're talking about here is that we've lied to many of our allies about what we're doing, and the release of these documents would jeopardize those relationships with these allies once they find out how crooked we are. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that our two-facedness, our promising this to that government, promising something else to the enemy government, and working them against each other, will come to light and will show the United States for the dissolute, reprobate empire that it has become. And how it doesn't care if you're England or France or Germany or if you're Iran or Iraq or Israel, if it's in the interest of the United States to secretly screw you over, then they'll do it. And I'm sure these documents are going to reveal this. Although the story, the way it's written by CNN, doesn't really tell us that. That's the problem with it. It's so sugar-coated. It makes everything look just rosy that we're doing here in terms of WikiLeaks. We're still seen as the innocent victim of these dastardly organizations of news that are finding out these secrets of the United States and revealing them so that everyone can see that the emperor wears no clothes and is naked. The clothes are being ripped away. That's what WikiLeaks is all about, ripping the garments and the clothing from the United States and any other government that wishes to screw people over. Now, you may say, well, you're not very much of a patriot for thinking that WikiLeaks is doing something good here because this is bad for the United States. And my response to that is hogwash. What's bad for the United States is that we are engaged in wars that are bad for the United States. The war in Iraq was bad for the United States. We should never have gotten into it. We got into it on a lie. And that lie was exposed, and we survived the fact that it was exposed. But then, during the war, we stooped to torturing people and raping their sons and daughters in front of them in order to get them to confess things to us. And that was bad, too. Do you really think those things shouldn't have been exposed? That these dastardly acts should go covered up for the rest of eternity? So that people in the United States government would continue to do these things? Might even pull you out in the future. They get by with it overseas. They might take you here in America and do it to you. I know a bunch of dissidents who right now are sitting in federal prisons because of special consideration by the United States government. And they were put there precisely because they either said no to the federal government or their opinions were different from those of the State Department. One of the ones that we all know about is the murdering of the people at Waco. It was pure murder. People were minding their own business, enjoying their freedom of religion, speech. And along comes the ATF, and on a bogus order from a judge, wants to see what's in their compound, but immediately, evidently, begins shooting. And there were movies taken of it, so you could see exactly what was going on. And the very fact that the metal doors at the front of that church were missing. And the FBI and ATF were in charge of the investigation, but the doors have never surfaced. And so we know for a fact, since they haven't surfaced, that the bullets impending upon that door went from the outside in and not vice versa. The FBI was murdering these people through the wooden walls of that particular church. And the steel door showed it. That's why they disappeared. If they showed the opposite, that the people inside were shooting at the FBI, you can just believe that those things, those doors, would be in a museum right now, probably at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., with the outward bullet showing that the church people shot at the ATF, and not vice versa. So we already know what the door showed, because if they showed what the government wanted, then the government would have released the doors and would have preserved them and made sure they never disappeared. At any rate, the CNN has not had advanced access to the documents, unlike some media organizations, because the company declined to sign a confidentiality agreement with WikiLeaks. Wasn't the CNN that was had some people that admitted they were taking money from the CIA? I know that the New York Times reporters had done that, and people with these other large networks had acted as operatives of the CIA and spied on people that they interviewed in other areas like China and Russia, and they admitted that they had. At any rate, this WikiLeaks is coming out very, very shortly, and I'm sure that it's going to cause tremendous embarrassment because it's going to show just how dastardly the United States has acted with other people, including torture, lies, innuendos, deceit, etc. Something for which the United States should be extremely ashamed. And in my opinion, as a reporter, it's good that these things are being released because America needs to be purified. It needs to be cleansed of its errors. And one of its errors is the error of thinking that people are so stupid that they will put up with anything. And I'm hoping that these things will prove that what's really good is to show the truth about things, so that whatever is happening, the people will know. I read another story today that I found rather troubling, because it's about a young man who was going to blow up a public building. It's a story that I came from AOL's Politics Daily. It starts off saying that once again the troubling question arises, how can someone come to these shores, accept the hospitality and bounty of a new country, swear fealty to its people and constitution, and then plan to commit mass murder in the name of religion? Well, I would ask the same question about members of the CIA who pretend to want to immigrate to other nations and who go there with CIA training to spy out that country and to possibly work its way into their way into the government circles and cause trouble and chaos there, and maybe even cause them to do something that would create a war. America's done that many, many times. So for this article to ask that question, that troubling question, how can someone come to these shores, accept the hospitality and bounty of a new country, swear fealty to its people and constitution, then plan to commit mass murder in the name of religion? Well, what do you think was going on in Russia when Lee Harvey Oswald, who worked for the CIA, went there and became a citizen and swore fealty to the Soviet Union, when he was really spying it out and trying to get as much information as possible about Mr. Powers, who had flown an airplane over Soviet territory and found himself arrested. Francis Powers, you remember him, he flew the U-2 over there. Well, that's what Oswald was doing, according to books about him that have been written later. And it seems to be the case. At any rate, the story says, once again, leaders of a local mosque, this time in Portland, Oregon, warily attempt to reassure their fellow Americans that one disturbed and dangerous young Muslim does not speak for their community. The alleged plot, interrupted by the FBI, was shocking even in an age in which we have become inured to indiscriminate terror. Well, yes, we have. And we've seen that most of the indiscriminate terror comes from the United States. Bombing a civilized area such as Baghdad with huge bombs in a terror operation called Shock and Awe, which our White House approved and greedily told everybody they had done it, thinking that it was a wonderful thing. The alleged plot, interrupted by the FBI, was shocking even in an age in which we have become inured to indiscriminate terror. Well, I have to ask myself, how in the world did the FBI catch these people? Did they catch this man, or did they put him up to it like they have with many, many other so-called plots? I know that you, like many other Americans, suffer from a syndrome whereby you forget the news that happened 5 minutes ago. And you go on your merry lives thinking that everything is wonderful because the media, the minority-owned media, owned by the bankers of this country, owned by those who are pro-Zionist and who came out of the Bolshevik camp years and years ago and formed the honeypot known as the Federal Reserve so they could make fake phony money and buy up everything in the United States and around the world, and then make everybody kowtow to their every little need. I know that you forget these things, and I'm sure that you have forgotten already that there was a nice black man up in, I believe he was in Chicago, might have been Detroit, but I think it was Chicago or New York, some big city, and the FBI got a hold of him and began to fill his brain with the idea that maybe he should bomb somebody and be a terrorist. He never had an idea like that in his brain. So they took him to various Caribbean and Mexican places and gave him the money, and he bought bombing materials and different things to set the bomb off. And they did that with him for about a year. And finally they arrested him and said, look what we've discovered. This gentleman is trying to bomb the United States of America. Well, then his friend started talking and said, well, he's certainly not a terrorist. But he is the type of guy that if someone like the FBI offered him money and a free trip to the Caribbean to pick things up, he'd certainly take advantage of it. And that's exactly what happened. And I remind you that the Christmas bomber who wore the lingerie, the underwear that had a bomb in it, and he was trying to set it off, but it didn't go off, and the passengers on the aircraft stopped him and tied him up. Well, remember that after that story surfaced, two people on the plane who had a camera filmed the government agents telling the people who had stopped him from getting on the plane that you will put this man on the plane, and they filmed it. They filmed it. People said, oh, you're lying. Well, they showed him the film, and there it was. these government agents from the United States of America telling them, you will put this man on the plane. That was the Christmas bomber, he was called, and he was put on the plane by American agents. So what makes you think that this man wasn't doing this at the behest of federal agents? You have to ask, well, why would a federal agent want to do that? Well, maybe it's because the FBI or the CIA or whoever's in charge of this little operation, Homeland Security, needs to tell the American people that they're doing their job. And look, we caught this man trying to bomb this huge public gathering at a public building. And now we've saved you from this incident. Aren't we wonderful? When in fact, he wouldn't have thought about bombing it unless you were put up to it. These are black flag operations, and I don't know if this is a black flag operation, but I have my suspicions. Every time I see one of these, I have my suspicion. Do you realize that the FBI, in the first bombing of the World Trade Center, you know, by the blind cleric over in, I think it was in New Jersey, he had a mosque there, and his people were going to bomb the World Trade Center. And they were watched and even helped out some by the FBI. So that when it was over with, they knew who to look for. They knew that it was going to happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the FBI itself was implicated in that particular bombing. The government was implicated in the 9/11 bombing of those buildings by those airplanes. In fact, they were having a false flag operation where they were pretending that someone was trying to bomb the World Trade Center by flying huge airplanes into it at the very time that these huge airplanes were being flown toward it and went into the buildings. And you have to ask yourself, well, what are the chances that that would happen at the same time, same minute, etc., to the point where everybody in the FAA thought that this was a part of a simulation? But in fact, people really were trying to fly these airplanes into the building. I mean, how often do they have a simulation like that? It can't be very often. What is it, once every 2 or 3 or 4 years? Or never? Until it's actually going to happen and then they have the simulation? What's going on here? What would make you think that this is not a black flag operation? It would just seem to me that you would automatically think that because you've seen this so often. The writer of this story asks, was this man really prepared to kill so many people, especially children? And actually, it wasn't the author who asked, but it was an FBI agent who suggested that and who asked Muhammad, I want whoever is attending that event to leave either dead or injured, he reportedly replied. So yes, this is pretty negative stuff here about this person. He's being sullied in the first interviews here. He might be set up as a patsy, who knows? He's a teenager, I think he's 19 years old. He was born in Mogadishu in 1991, in the middle of a brutal civil war, came here, and was pretty much a normal student. Although he told someone he hated Americans once when the person was fighting with him over access to his locker, which many teenagers have probably said. You may have said that yourself to somebody. You know, I hate everybody in this school. And since he was from out of the country, he just said, I hate Americans. I used to have a radio show on a station where somebody would call up couple times a day, and he would yell, I hate America. Well, people were shocked, and that's why he did it. He wanted to shock people. And the station allowed it, to its credit, because, well, it was a very unusual station to begin with. It was a station that really believed in freedom of speech and allowing people who were bizarre and needed a voice to actually have a voice. It didn't care. It didn't matter what you did. They would allow you to call up there and say what you wanted to say. At any rate, there was another story today about this, kind of a follow-up, that a mysterious fire suddenly appeared at the mosque frequented by this Somali-born teenager. who's been charged with this, what I think might be a false flag operation. And a CBS affiliate, KVAL, reported that the fire occurred at the Salman al-Farsi Islamic Center early today. It was discovered by a police sergeant about 2:15 a.m. And it burned 80% of the center's office. Now, do you really think that this fire started on its own? It burned 80% of the center's office. Now, there might have been some information there that indicated just the opposite of what the FBI is claiming here. I'm not sure. But now I guess we'll never know, since 80% of the office of that particular organization was destroyed. It might have been material that showed the office was involved. Who knows? But we'll never know now, because this is gone. All the evidence. By the way, authorities say that Mohammed, the young man who was going to do this bombing, sent bomb components to undercover FBI agent who he believed were assembling his explosive device. But the agent supplied him with a fake component to explode the device. And he tried to detonate it twice via his phone. Now, if this doesn't smack of an FBI undercover operation in order to make itself look good, I don't know what does. They're so in with this man that they get him to order components to assemble the explosive device. So he's getting the components from the FBI, and nobody in any of these stories mentions that this might be a black flag operation. How stupid are the American people? The answer is very, very stupid. I mean, if I can see this in a news story, why can't you? Why would the FBI be providing somebody with fake components to explode a bomb if they weren't pushing him to do it so they could arrest him later and say, look, we stopped this man from exploding a bomb outside of a public building? You see, it's another, in my opinion, a black flag operation that makes the FBI look better than it is. They didn't discover, in my opinion, it looks to me like they didn't discover this man. This is just another situation where they got somebody to do something and then they grabbed him and arrested him and said, we caught you doing this, and then announced it to the press. But he wouldn't have done it if the FBI hadn't got a hold of him. Authorities said that the public was never in danger. Mohammed was arrested at 5:40 p.m. Friday, just after he dialed a cell phone number he thought would set off the blast, but instead brought federal agents and police swooping down on him, yelling Allahu Akbar, Arabic for God is great. Mohammed tried to kick agents and police after he was taken into custody, according to prosecutors. The threat was very real, said Arthur Balazan, special agent in charge of the FBI in Oregon, which is where this took place. Our investigation shows that Mohammed was absolutely committed to carrying out an attack on a very grand scale. Well, of course your investigation showed that, because you set it up to show that. Isn't that what's going on here, like your other efforts to arrest people? There were people that you set up with fake bombs so that you could pretend that you had discovered this and arrested them, so you could look good in the press? How foolish do you think that we are? Do you think we're all idiots? You know, if you assume that everybody in the world's an idiot, you're going to make mistakes. And I think you've made a big one here. Of course, you may be able to make this stick since you own the courts, the check that's cut for the FBI agents is the U.S. Treasury check, and that's the check that's also cut for the judge in the federal court, isn't it? And it's supposed to be equal for everybody. But I'll bet you if Muhammad's judge had a check from Muhammad and not from the U.S. Treasury, that the outcome in court might be quite different. You wouldn't allow the mafia to cut a check to a judge for his salary, would you? And expect that he would be treated fairly? Then why would you think if the federal government cut the judge's check and the prosecutor has the same check cut from the U.S. Treasury, that the judge wouldn't be beholden to the federal government and think, well, finding what the prosecutor wants is my bread and butter. Maybe I better find in favor of the federal government. I just better do that because they're the ones that are paying me. You see, the bread is always butter on the side of the person who provided the bread. And at any rate, I don't think this young man would have done this on his own, and especially with the FBI providing all the bomb-making materials. I think that we're looking at another false flag operation of a very desperate and a very evil government that is working the people of the United States in a false operation against terrorism, false terrorism, because there is no terrorism. There's plenty of evidence the United States was the one that bombed the 9/11 building. That's why you have so many truthers, and that's why the federal government is so desperate to keep people from thinking these thoughts. Because the federal government thinks that you're so stupid that you will never believe that the government ever did anything to hurt you. When in fact it has even injected plutonium into the arms of children to see what would happen. And that's up on USSR.com. Hundreds of medical experiments against unwilling people who were not notified that they were part of a dangerous experiment, over and over again by the federal government's operatives here in the United States of America. No different than what happened in Nazi Germany. In fact, Nazi Germany's medical experiments were taken up by the United States. Some of the people who were participating in those, as well as General Ishii, the doctor in Japan that did similar experiments, he was given a carte blanche cover for his medical crime so that he would testify to us what he discovered in his medical crime so that we could use them too. Isn't that wonderful? The United States government. It's a true treasure. True treasure. If you've never heard me before, you're probably asking yourself the question, why is this man talking like this? Isn't he an American? Isn't he a patriot? Well, I live on the American continent, but I'm not a patriot. I used to be, but, you know, the scales fell from my eyes through years and years of terrible actions by the federal government, including them finally coming after me over nothing. And after being given carte blanche to investigate me and finding that everything they thought about me was untrue, that I had never done anything wrong in my existence, they still decided to come after me because they wanted to shut down my news site, Jewwatch News. So I sold the site to a friend of mine who kept it under wraps for a year or two or three. And finally, when the statute of limitations on their dastardly lie ran out, I was able to get it back. Oh, and the government didn't like that. They were hoping that it was going to be shut down, and they found that it wasn't. Well, they were quite upset. Well, I thought they were going to die of apoplexy. And it was two Jews that came after me, Chertoff and Mukasey. Chertoff was the head of the National Security Office, known as Homeland Security, and Mukasey was appointed the head of the Department of Justice. I think that was after Ashcroft left. Two Zionist pigs in a poke coming after the editor of Jewwatch in a country where the president would stand up almost every day and say, we believe in humanitarian issues, in civil rights for people, in a free press. And I was a free press. I was a reporter and a journalist and a librarian and an archivist for Jewwatch News. It's just that I wasn't controlled by Zionism. I wasn't controlled by the Jews. I wasn't controlled by the CIA. I simply studied things, chose materials, put them together in a huge library, and put them up on the internet. There were things people didn't want to hear about, like the fact that the people who started communism were Jewish. Did you ever hear of Karl Marx? Don't believe me? Take a look. His real name was Mordecai Levy. His father was a rabbi. Well, what about the first president of the Soviet Union, Sverdlov? He was Jewish. How about Trotsky? He was Jewish. Head of the Red Army, the Red Commissariat, that great murderer. What about the butcher of the Ukraine? His name was Kaganovich, General Kaganovich, Jewish. The butcher of Petrograd. He was Jewish. His name was Gingrich Yagoda. And on and on and on. Lenin grew up in a Yiddish household, speaking Yiddish, which is the Jewish language of Europe. You have to really look underneath the carpet to find the dirt. And I've looked under the carpet, and I've paid my dues, and I'm looking under the carpet right now about this Muhammad person who was 19 years old and who was getting bombing materials that were fake, but he thought they were real from the FBI. And the FBI has put it into the newspaper saying, look, aren't we wonderful? We stopped this person from killing people. Well, did you stop him from killing people, or did you really? Didn't you really put him up to it and then say that you discovered it when, in fact, he wouldn't have done it if you hadn't started this? You've ruined the young man's life, haven't you? It's pretty despicable when you think about it. Pretty despicable. Well, I found an interesting story about eating squirrels in the news today. Now, you're probably wondering why I would want to put this into my news show. And the reason is, when I was a child, I used to hunt squirrels, and my family would eat the squirrels. I'd go out almost every day in the summer and hunt squirrels at some time or another. And we'd fry them up, or we'd have a squirrel and dumplings in a pressure cooker. If it was an old squirrel, we'd cook it in a pressure cooker until it was real tender. At any rate, I found this story that a television producer for the Discovery Channel asked a reporter to seek his help in filming a show for Discovery Network. I guess he wasn't a reporter. He's probably a movie producer. Owned a studio. The show was about to be about weird foods, and he wanted to know if he would take his crew squirrel hunting and then cook the squirrels. He said, I came from, here's the article says, he said, I came highly recommended from a man in another state. And he says, it warms my heart to know that when it comes to something most people will probably consider redneck, people in other states recommend you. I love that line. I love that line. And I've been accused of being a redneck many times. And I have at times in my life been a redneck. I've lived in the country, and I guess that makes me a redneck. I used to hunt squirrel and raccoon and possum and deer. I guess I was a redneck. I used to farm. I still farm in my backyard. That makes me a redneck. And I distrust the federal government, but that doesn't make me a redneck, because rednecks love the federal government. Oh, I'm sorry. They've changed their minds, some of them, and they've formed the tea bag party, or the tea party. Well, anyway, he writes, I guess you are probably a redneck if a food that the Discovery Channel thinks of as weird seems perfectly normal for you to eat. He says that his friend Jim Ellerby has a t-shirt that reads, Alabama, so many squirrels, so few recipes. He says that Jim is evidently not the kind of guy who will give you the shirt off his back. He won't even sell it to me. I've asked that he leave it to me in his will. And he writes, there's nothing really strange about eating squirrels as long as you don't look them up on the internet and discover that they are actually rodents. They were a staple in the Alabama diet for decades, as late as the 1940s. Every kid went out and shot squirrels. I lived in Missouri. We shot squirrels, which I guess makes me a redneck. They were delicious. All squirrels have a delicate pink meat, and the younger squirrels are the most tender. They're delicious grilled, baked, or fried. The older, tougher squirrels are delicious cooked in a pressure cooker and served with dumplings, as I just said. The squirrel was the number one hunted species in Alabama until 1972, when the white-tailed deer became king. Why did it take that long? Because they had hunted the white-tailed deer to extinction in Alabama, and the Department of Conservation there had brought them back. So that in 72, when they had enough of the herd, well, the white-tailed deer became king for the hunters. Squirrels are still a common meal for rural Alabamans and Missourians, but the urbanization of the state has resulted in far fewer squirrel hunters. Urbanites now just curse squirrels for getting into their attics and eating the seeds from their bird feeders. I find it odd that so many Alabamans freak out at the thought of eating squirrels, he writes. Many would gag at the thought, but think nothing of eating a chicken, which is one of the nastiest creatures on this earth. He says they wouldn't dare eat a squirrel, but think nothing of eating a pork chop from an animal that wallows in mud and its own waste on a daily basis. Boy, he's playing hard and tough here, isn't he? He says if you would like to try squirrels at a table fare, I don't recommend a slingshot. You'd probably die from starvation. He recommends a shotgun with number 8 shot or a 22 rifle. Well, I'll tell you what. I have a garden where I live, and I have been trapping squirrels and taking them out of my garden and taking them over to the park to re-release them. It's a never-ending thing because there seems to be a absolutely eternal place where squirrels jump into existence the moment you take one away, 10 of them show up again. At least that's what I discovered. I trapped 25 squirrels, 3 possums, and 1 rabbit. And the possums would get into the trap in the evening because they're night creatures. The rabbit got in the morning. That's when they like to come out. And the squirrels were day creatures. That's when they'd get into the trap. And all I did was put peanut butter in there, and they just love peanut butter because basically rats love peanut butter. And why wouldn't squirrels? One of the reasons I brought this up was not because I used to squirrel hunt. In fact, we used to eat roadkill. You know, the ranger would call us if there was a freshly killed deer on the road and said, "Would you like it? Come on down and get it." And he knew we didn't have much money, so we'd go down and get it. And we would take it to the butcher, and he would cut it up for us into steaks, etc. And we would eat on that sucker for a long, long time. So, yeah, I've eaten roadkill. What's the difference between roadkill and something that's killed in a butcher sh for a butcher shop? Butcher shops are the ones that cut up all the large game for people anyway. It's not much different from a deer and a lamb or a goat or a bull. You're talking about eyeballs, 4 feet, tail. You get the idea. The steaks are just about the same. But it just brings up the fact that we are an urban culture now and not a rural one where we go out and search for our food with a gun. And the fact that we're that much different means that, well, things have changed tremendously. Now we find ourselves not discussing who killed a deer for deer season, but what's happened in the fake war on terror, which is definitely a fake war because there is no terror. The biggest terrorist nations, as I've always pointed out, is the United States of America, that bombed Baghdad with shock and awe to terrorize them. I mean, what can I say? It goes without saying. By the way, something that I've always known is that passive smoking is more dangerous to people than has ever been realized, and a new study by the WHO, the World Health Organization, found passive smoking or secondhand smoke, the kind you get if you go to a bar where people are smoking, or you go to a restaurant, or a school, or anywhere where people can smoke in a lounge and you're there, that this passive smoking kills about 600,000 people worldwide each year. Now, overall, tobacco smoking kills an estimated 5.1 million worldwide. So these passive deaths from being in a room with smokers causes another 10% on top of what the smokers suffer. It causes 379,000 deaths from heart disease, 165,000 deaths from lower respiratory infections, 36,900 deaths from asthma, and 21,400 lung cancer deaths. The WHO in Geneva reported their study in the Lancet Journal of Medicine that 2/3 of the passive smoking deaths occur in Africa and South Asia. And I guess that's because they're still smoking in all the restaurants and bars, etc. there. And maybe smoking is also more heavily practiced in those countries, thanks to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is trying to hook people on cigarettes all over Africa and Asia. The story says that children are more heavily exposed to passive smoking, which most likely occurs in the home, than any other age group. And get this, 165,000 children die each year because of secondhand smoke. Is that an indictment of smoking in places where other people are going to be expected? Or with people in the same room with you? Is that an indictment? 165,000 children die each year because of secondhand smoke? In poor countries like Africa, more children die from passive smoking than adults. 43,375 children versus 9,514 adults died. 43,000 children and 9,000 adults died. In other words, four times the number of children as adults. But in high-income European countries, fewer children die from secondhand smoke than adults. Only 71 children versus 35,388 adults who died from passive smoking. For the study, the authors analyzed data from 192 countries. You know, you smokers have a lot to answer for. This is not a civil rights issue. This is a health issue. And you need to be advised of that. This is a health issue. You are destroying the health of children. You are killing children. You are disturbing people greatly with your addictions. And the sooner we can wipe smoking out of America, the better. This is a terrible thing. It only brings death. It only brings suffering, cancer, and extreme addiction. And this great society that we have of capitalists who own industries where they are supposedly producing products that help society. It's actually a situation in which society is being destroyed by these capitalist exploiters who will do anything they can to keep selling cigarettes because it is just so darn profitable. And the government itself has been sucked into this because they get all of these federal and state and local taxes from every pack of cigarettes that's sold. And so they are willing and paid accomplices in this act of murder that is taking place every day in America, known as smoking in public, smoking in schools, smoking in bars, in restaurants, libraries, wherever smoking is allowed, in businesses. Someday it's not going to be allowed anywhere, not even in your own home. You'll be like the pot smoker running around in terrible parts of your city trying to find someone who would sell you a cigarette for $190 because you've just got to have one last cancer stick. And it's driving you crazy. You have to understand the pathos that that you suffer from when you smoke. I used to smoke, and it was a terrible habit to wean myself from. And I tried it several times. I finally went to Boston Harbor and ate fish for 2 weeks while I came down off of smoking. And when someone asked me for a cigarette or to buy cigarettes, I won't touch them. I won't do anything for anybody who wants a cigarette, except get as far away from them as I can. Because every time I hear the word cigarette, I want one. And it's been 20 or 30 years since I smoked one. That's how deeply ingrained that habit is. So if you're smoking, I sympathize for you. But you will be much healthier and a much better person if you do quit. And I'm for dissidence and rebellion more than anybody else that I know of. But I think you're being exploited with the cigarettes, and I think you're harming other people. And that's where the line needs to be drawn, is when you're harming other people, you need to find another habit. And I mean that, you really do. By the way, the FBI is now finally investigating Wall Street. But guess what? It seems that they're not investigating our friends at Goldman Sachs, who started this big charade known as the Great Depression of 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, all the way up to who knows, 2050. They destroyed our coinage, our money supply. They destroyed our allies, and they're still out there making billions of dollars, and no one's putting them in jail, even though what they did was illegal. And it's admittedly been illegal. At any rate, the FBI has expanded its investigation with raids on three hedge funds and an arrest. And this is shocking because they've never arrested anybody that I know of on Wall Street. And finally, they have. They probably found three little companies that they could pick on. They couldn't afford enough lawyers to really defend themselves. What do you bet? The United States government has millions of dollars to spend to screw you over and get you guilty in a court of law where they pay the judge. Because he gets the same check, as I say, from the U.S. Treasury as the prosecutor. This is another shadow this investigation cast over an industry that, despite frequent scandals, bailouts, and complicity in the collapse of our credit market, still has enough credibility on Capitol Hill to avoid any real crackdown. You know why? Because campaign donations buy respect where it counts. But you see, there's something deeper to the scandal. The man behind the investigation, U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara in Manhattan, has said the insider trading he's after appears to be rampant and has compared the practice to performance-enhancing drugs. Subpoenas from his office have gone out to giant firms, including mutual fund managers, Janus Capital Group, and Wellington Management. Fox Business News said Chicago hedge fund operator Citadel also drew a subpoena. None of these firms has been charged. The breadth of these subpoenas suggests the probe could involve many mutual funds, hitting a sector that's always had a reputation of conservatism. It may change the minds of investors who still think the market operates equitably for all. Also, the reaction to the probe shows it's a hitting a nerve. Some of the media spun it as dangerous overreaching by the FBI. A Wall Street Journal article wondered whether the feds were criminalizing the channel check, the practice of investment funds hiring researchers to examine a company's daily business, such as by counting customers or truck traffic. The one arrest last week, that of research firm worker Don Ching Trang Chu, suggests the FBI isn't targeting above-board research. Prosecutor says Chu boasted of contacts with employees of public companies who were willing to sell up inside information. They also said he described using an electronic communication system that he thought would escape detection. If the charges are sustained, it'll amount to an old-style fraud, but with today's trading, All about speed and advantages, the probe could produce a rogues gallery beyond anything we've seen. So what do you think? Will the federal government really go after Goldman Sachs, the executives of Lehman Brothers, and the rest of these criminal jerks who have destroyed our economies? Will they or will they not? Well, just stay tuned, and I guess we're going to find out. We're going to find out. We may not like what we find out, but evidently, we are going to find out. Our nation needs to undergo a great cleansing. We are covered with our own excesses, our wars, our filth, with the inhumane acts toward humanity that we have caused through our constant warfare, through overtaxing people at the bottom of the structures of our country, for allowing foreigners to enter our land without stopping them at the borders, for causing our people to suffer the indignity of losing their own destiny as a people, as they are mixed more and more with other people, and given jobs with high salaries so that they won't have children but would rather work, because they just don't believe that children are worthwhile anymore. Our country has a lot to answer for. Our nation has murdered people and murdered the presidents of many countries around the globe. The people around the world are able to read about this in their press, but in our corrupt press, our evil press, we do not get to read any of these stories. Because our press works for the federal government, the CIA, the FBI, whoever asks them. They will acquiesce to whatever they say, because they're afraid of retribution by the denizens of the freak show in Washington, D.C. The criminal thugs who worm their way not only through the United States, but through Mexico and Guatemala, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Every country is a place where they will appear in a subterfuge, in stealth, and attack that country using people that they pay to do their work for them. And here in America, the same thing has happened, such as this Mahmoud, who they just said today was planning to bomb a public center in Oregon. The man was only 19 years old, and they were selling him fake bomb-making material. And the question is, isn't this just another fake operation by the FBI, designed to make them look good, designed to make it appear to you that they're doing their job of stopping people, when in fact the whole war on terror is nothing but a fake operation, a false flag operation designed to mesmerize you and to keep you spending your money for wars in the Middle East to help Israel and not to help the United States, to anger the Arabs and the Muslims who own the oil that we desperately need, because the denizens in New York, who've destroyed our economy through their greed at Goldman Sachs and other companies, through their derivatives, which were illegal products, that they've sold to many of our allies and huge countries like China that can do us great harm. Fake, phony products that were erroneously said to be wonderful investments, when in fact these companies knew they were not good investments, but they were basically screwing these people over. So here we have it. We live in this corruption of capitalism known as America, where every war that we have is said to be, well, a police action to help other people, where we're presenting ourselves as humanitarians to the entire world. Well, you're not hoodwinking me. I am known as the fisherman of lies, the fisher of lies, because I fish the news for all the lies that are printed there, and I report to you on the lies and what they mean. And I shall continue to do that until I'm put into prison like many other reporters have been put into prison. Because I stand for truth, for justice, and the real American way. And not the un-American way of the freak show in Washington, D.C.